Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
I am juiced up and ready to go. Thank you so much for joining us. It is wonderful to be here on a Tuesday. I only know it's Tuesday because it's trash day. That's how I keep my days straight. It is also Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And then tomorrow is the slowest day in sports. No sports tomorrow. No sports. And we're treated by the, or treated to the ESPYs. Sarcasm hopefully came across. I have done the red carpet at the ESPYs before. I can tell you some stories about that as well. Do some random things on the show. It is episode 191. John Lund with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Years and years on sports radio all over the country. And having a great time with the John Lund Unleashed channel. If you are new around here, welcome. If you're watching on X at John Lund Radio, welcome. Consider coming over to the platform on YouTube and subscribing, hitting those likes, and keeping those alerts on. Maybe you're watching this morning on Instagram at John Lund Radio. Thank you so much for that as well. Could be watching on LinkedIn, Facebook, anywhere. Also, a Bay Area Sports Collective, that big B in the corner. Not only subscribe on John Lund Unleashed, but the Bay Area Sports Collective, which is a bunch of us ex-KNBRers, the former sports leader, myself, Tom Tolbert, Rod Brooks, Polly Mack. Today is Tuesday, so Polly will be this morning. Polly Mack with Creative Tony, our former creative director at KNBR. So that's a former KNBRers. And then the great Amy G, Amy Gutierrez, has a show on the channel as well at, on Bay Area Sports Collective, and Jeremy Alfelt, the former Giant. So lots of stuff going on. Please make sure you subscribe to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and the Bay Area Sports Collective. A lot going on today. I used too small of a font there, as you can see, on episode 191. So hope you can see it. All-Star Game, Home Run Derby. The Giants have a 45% chance of making the playoffs. Agree, disagree. Top 10 QBs, we missed that yesterday, so they moved on to linebackers because, remember, you got to keep the NFL in the scope 24/7, 365. More on Juwan Jennings. It hit right before the show yesterday, and we talked a lot about it, and I reposted some stuff about it and all those kind of things, and then I had time to think, and I have a better thought process on that today. LeBron James, there's rumors of a trade. I'd do it in about 2 seconds. Look, you're the old man team. Go ultimate old man. We'll talk about that. A Fox shakeup, which isn't much of a shakeup. The channel's shit. I mean, let's be honest. FS1 has shit shows. ESPN during the day has shit shows. I think it's a short-term thing that both channels are doing, but I'll explain momentarily. Let's see. Overdose of Pat McAfee is getting to screaming A levels. I guess they just don't trust anybody else. Two people is what ESPN has, and Fox, I would argue, has one. Random things happen throughout the show, and sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Yesterday, I think I might replay this ground and pound because we were in such a hurry at the end of the show yesterday, and apologize for that, but I had to get on a call at like 10:30 that I was late for, and so I was rushing out of here because we did so much Juwan Jennings. So I want to make sure that we hit everything correctly this morning and have plenty of time to do everything. So good morning, good morning, good morning. I am going to go down the roll call, and where these people are, you might be watching on one of the other platforms going, where are these people? It's on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. We have a great community, a great chat room. I would, I'm not going to advise you, but I would encourage you to come over. It's a lot of fun. If you are new in the room, please say good morning and hello. Everyone's cool. You don't have to agree with me, the host, or anybody else. It's a safe zone. Everybody can have fun. We're just talking sports. We think we have them in their proper perspective, not just some like, it's not war, it's not politics. We just try to have some fun. So come on over. And not only that, say good morning and hello, because everyone in here is really cool. We have put together a really cool community. Dom is here this morning. Harley Bird, top of the morning to you. Pine, what's going on, Pine? Hopefully you are still on a roll. Jake, good morning to you, my friend. John Harder, it is great. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Your trash collection on strike. That's brutal. Because we're the opposite. We, about a week ago, you know, when you can put the junk out there like once every, I don't know, few months. And I feel really bad. And then people drive around with their trailers. And if they got anything good, they take it. We just did like a week ago. It's the best feeling ever. Because honestly, they'll take anything. We had like old pool furniture. We had like I did a big clean out of our shed, of, you know, lawnmower and all the different stuff. And I just threw a bunch of stuff out of there. And it was, now you just feel like, oh, this is so nice. So yeah, we have the opposite, which is very nice. Joy, it is great to see Joy. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you, Kenny. Good morning. By the way, it's funny. I don't mind Johnny whatsoever. My grandma called me Johnny. My mom would call me Johnny when she was a little bit mad, but it doesn't bother me whatsoever. So I like it. Christopher, good morning to you. Ozzy Rules, good morning to you, my friend. Lost Crew is here. Jesus, good morning. James, good morning. Very nice crew that we got today. Yep, I agree with that. We can get into that today. I like when the All-Star players wore the team jerseys. They are wearing the team jerseys tonight. Rooker did get hosed. That was kind of weird. But I've got a theory that I'm going to throw across to you. So if I did not hit your name this morning, believe me, I will. And like I said, if you're watching on one of the other platforms, come over to John Lund Unleashed and say good morning, hello, and let's acknowledge you watching the show. So we really appreciate things. Before we get to things, remember all comments, if you're watching the show later, put it right underneath here. Or I'm on X a lot, so at John Lund Radio on X is a good place to hit me up as well. However you want to do it, that's fine. And like I said, it's important to me that you know that you don't have to agree with everything that I'm saying. That's just kind of how it is. That's just kind of how it goes. I like differing opinions. I like thinking. It doesn't mean, you know, just whatever you want to do is completely fine to me. So let's get to things. Hi, powwow. Good morning, Joe Schmo. It is great to see you. So anyway, let's get into everything today. And again, questions, comments, thoughts. If you want to contribute to the show and get your feelings right there on the board, just hit me up with the super. They're not expensive and you're supporting the show, which is tremendous. All right. Happy Tuesday and happy episode 191. Let me reverse the top of the chalkboard there. It says All-Star Game tonight, then Home Run Derby. I don't have any highlights of the Home Run Derby because YouTube always makes me take them down. So if you saw it last night, cool. If you didn't, you didn't. I don't know why these type of events are scrutinized the way that they are. Maybe it's just me watching all the social media, because social media people tend to bitch and moan more than praise people on social media. It's just a place for people to get pissed and bitch and all those kind of things, no matter what the topic could be. Politics could be sports, could be, you know, whatever it is. More people like to complain than they do anything else. So everyone's complaining about, you know, McAfee's introductions and Brett Rooker getting hosed by mere inches, and then Cal Raleigh wins it, which was pretty cool with his dad pitching and his brother catching, and he is the home run leader. And you know, there was a lot of cool stuff and in the game itself, and people were complaining about, you know, you couldn't get to the highlights fast enough. They didn't, you know, the split screen, you couldn't tell what was going on. Like, I get it. I get it. It's an imperfect product. All right. And this is a philosophy of mine all the time. So let's use it on the Home Run Derby last night. I should have said this yesterday. Let's use it on the All-Star Game tonight. Let's use it on All-Star Games. When we go into a movie, when we go to see a concert, when we go to watch a sporting event, we have certain expectations, right? There are certain expectations. Like, I was watching, like, I'll give you a great example. My wife's going off to Vegas for a thing this week for a couple of days. And you have certain expectations of Vegas, say. And we went to the Sphere and we saw U2, and I had sky high expectations, and they went through the roof. I've heard other people go there and, you know, it's not as good or whatever. You just have a certain expectation. The Super Bowl, because there's so many hours of coverage of the Super Bowl, many, many times, it can't possibly live up to the hype. There's 2 weeks. There's, you know, there's all these different things going on. There's no way it can live up to the hype, right? So when it comes to a Home Run Derby, think of it as, I'll give you what I think is a great example just popped into my head. Happy Gilmore is coming up on Netflix after how many years is, you know, he's just doing it. Adam Sandler's just doing it for the money. He's not doing it because he thinks that Happy Gilmore is going to be actually good. Like, I don't think Happy Gilmore 2 is going to be good. Happy Gilmore 1 was good. They should have capitalized it before Carl Weathers died. Like, how many years later is this? This is just a money grab. And I expect it to just be a money grab. So what I'll probably do before I watch Happy Gilmore 2 is maybe I'll pop a couple of gummies and realize that, you know, I'm not going to watch award-winning. This is not winning an Oscar. I know that Happy Gilmore 2 is not going to win an Oscar. It's not. So I'll have the proper mindset when I go in to watch that movie. Other movies, you know, I'll have a higher expectation, that, you know, and then if it lets me down, it's like, you know, like I've heard the Superman movie is shit. I've heard the Superman movie is terrible. And I get it. Every generation, like, people always ask when they get older, why do you got to make another Superman? Because the first one came out in what, 1980 with Christopher Reeve? like kids aren't going to go back and watch that, and the references are dated, and yeah, so you got to make new ones all the time. I get it, but I've heard this one's terrible. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Not going to see it. It'll all of a sudden be, you know, on one of my channels here, and I'll watch it and I'll see. But it's given me an expectation of kind of a lower expectation. So you have expectations in life, right? There are certain events in life that you expect to be huge. Certain ones can surprise you that don't have as much buildup. We know what the Home Run Derby is. Look, it's hard. Whether it's Chris Berman going back, or Carl Ravitch last night, or whatever, everyone's bitching and moaning. Look, ESPN is trying to get to milk every dime, and I'll do this a little bit later, out of Pat McAfee, Stephen A., all these kind of things. You know, he's sleeveless. All these baseball peers. Oh, Pat McAfee. Maybe you like him, maybe you don't. Whatever. The point is, as you see in the All-Star game there, the cover of the show today, it says it is what it is. The Home Run Derby is what it is. The Major League Baseball All-Star game is what it is. The NBA All-Star game is what it is. Like, it's just, there are certain, like tonight, I remember growing up, and it was so cool to see all the different guys and all the different uniforms, and they're going to bring that back for the first time since 2019. Good step in the right direction. You always wanted your player from your team, you know what I mean? Oh, there's my guy. You know, it's fun. And Barry Bonds and, you know, Torrey Hunter taking the home run away. And it's awesome. It's fun. So go into tonight's game knowing that there's not going to be World Series intensity. If you want to make kind of a comp to it, it's kind of like a movie that's, you know, a serious movie that's going to win an Oscar versus Adam Sandler and, you know, some Adam Sandler movie, like I said, Happy Gilmore 2. This is going to be Happy Gilmore 2 tonight, and that's okay. That's okay. I want to see my guys in the uniform, and it's going to be cool, and Logan Webb and how he pitches, and it's fine. It doesn't have to have World Series intensity. Baseball was stupid back in the day. Bud Selig was stupid back in the day trying to tie this to playoffs. There's got to be intensity. Like the NBA, it's the same thing every year. There's got to be intensity to this game. No, there doesn't. It's a fan game. Quit bitching about who made it and who didn't and who was snubbed and who didn't and why McAfee's on the field and why Brent Rooker and why this and why that and why. Look, man, it's baseball. It's a home run derby and they're doing the best they can. It's not going to be this production that's going to show everything, and it's not perfect and it's fine. The one thing last night, maybe I'm wrong because I just caught it right in the middle. Didn't seem to drag it, which is really the problem. Yeah, the angles aren't the greatest. What are you going to do? It's glorified batting practice. So I'm sorry that it's just not going to be perfect, but it's glorified batting practice. And baseball back in the day thought to themselves, what's the coolest thing in the sport? It's the home run. Okay, let's have a home run derby. I don't know. Okay, let's do that. It's never going to be perfect. So they can tweak it and do this and do that. The only thing I ever ask, the only caveat that I'll throw out here is whether it's the NBA or Major League Baseball or hockey or any of these things, the Pro Bowl's gone, right? I mean, they don't want anybody getting hurt, so fine, whatever. You've got to convince, is the only thing. You've got to convince the stars to participate. That's the only thing. Like, you go to these guys and you say, look, like I'm watching Ohtani in the dugout last night going, what the fuck? Like, Cal Raleigh's cool and everything, and he's a great story this year, and blah, 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 blah. But I want to see Ohtani. So is it too much to ask that, look, the fans get screwed left and right. $20 beers. Ridiculous prices to get in. You know, you got to buy this channel and buy that channel, and it's on Apple tonight, and it's on blah, 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 and it's on Amazon, and it's on Netflix. And we do all these damn things constantly. We pay the prices. Yes, sir, we may have another. That beer and hot dog will be $28. What in the hell? Like, we do all of it. Give us one game. Give us one game in a home run derby. That's all we ask. So all the stars, I'm sorry, as part of your contract that you sign, you got to participate. You got to participate. So LeBron James has got to be in the dunk. I don't care how old he is. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see. So you sign a contract. All you got to do, participate. Participate in those events during All-Star weekend. Participate in the home run derby because I want to see. Like, could you imagine Ohtani last night? Ohtani versus Cal Raleigh? All that, I'm going to get tired. My swing, it's going to screw up my swing. Shut up. Make so much damn money. All we're asking for is one freaking game. That's it. And we pay the prices and we do all these different things. Because I'll tell you this right now. People go, you don't directly pay it. Sure, I do. If I don't go to the game, if I don't watch the game, then sponsors go, why am I sponsoring this? They all go away. The corporate sponsors go away. So that's it, man. That's all we ask. Like, home run derby, I'm not going to bitch. All-star game tonight, I'm not going to bitch. None of those kind of things. The only thing that fans should be able to ask is participate. Ohtani should have been in the home run derby last night. All the stars. I want to see Bryce Harper. I want to see all these guys. Because who's the best? Cal Raleigh's got the most home runs, and that was really cool, and he barely made it there, and I understand why people are mad that are Brent Rooker fans and all that kind of stuff. Whatever. But that's all. That's all, man. Just that's it. Just one thing. Participate. Everybody participate. The biggest stars participate. Other than that, I have no complaints. The All-Star Game, Home Run Derby, say it with me, philosophy of the show, one of many, it is what it is. It is what it is. So tonight, have a couple of beers, grill something up, have a burger, whatever, have fun. It's the All-Star Game. Don't have to take it too seriously. It's not going to have World Series intensity to it. Just have fun. That's all. That's all. That's all I got today as far as that goes. All-Star Game tonight, Home Run Derby yesterday. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was cool. I liked it. I had fun with it. I didn't mind it. I knew what to expect. That's all. So that is what's going on tonight and what went on yesterday. Give me your thoughts on that. Hi, Antonio. Good morning to you. Ohtani Judge should have been. Yeah, can you imagine that? The final Ohtani versus Judge. Seriously? Sorry, man. I don't want to screw up my swing. Oh, really? Because, God, you're getting paid. I mean, what's Judge's deal? What's Ohtani's deal? I know that the Dodgers skirted around it, but I mean, you know, it's not too much to ask. It really is. It really isn't. I mean, if you went to these guys and said, look, at the beginning of all of this, like, we're going to pay you gobs of money, obscene amounts. It's going to cost fans, you know, mortgage money, college money to get into these games, all this kind of stuff. All we're asking is, can you be in the home run derby? Can you give us one a year home run derby? You know, hey, NBA player, you know, whatever your star player is, can you give us the dunk contest? Nah, sorry, man, can't do it. Really? Nah. Can't do the three-point? Nah, can't do it. I mean, it's like, wow, okay. I mean, that's pretty simple. But yeah, Judge versus Ohtani, can you imagine that last night? In fact, that's all I would have wanted. Like, hey, it's great that Cal Raleigh's doing what he's doing, and Caminero was really good last night, and O'Neill Cruz hit one, you know, to the moon, whatever. That's cool. That could be an exhibition. You could do whatever. Just, I want Ohtani versus Judge. Ohtani versus Judge. That's all I want. Like, this thing doesn't have to take that long, right? That's it. That's all I need. Anyway, all right, I'm done with that rant. Tim says, I'm just enjoying the reprieve from the Giants offense. Yeah, I would agree with that 100%, man. Jesus. We'll talk about the Giants in just a second, but give me your thoughts. Let's see here. Is there a rift breaking out? Let's be cordial, everybody. Let's see. Lasker says Cal Raleigh home run leader in contest order, but that's okay. We have a great defensive catcher. Two things on that Lost Crew. Number one, this was alerted to me last night. I didn't realize this. And again, the baseball draft is the most difficult draft by a million miles. College football, at least they play for a few years and they're physically ready most that come out. Like, they can't come out to her. They're just not physically ready. The NBA, it's tough. It's a lot of one and doners and that kind of thing. There's no doubt. It's tough. And there might be just a handful of guys every single year that are real difference makers, if that. Hockey can be tough. Guys are really, really young when they're coming out, but they seem to just be ready skill-wise. They just seem to be ready. Maybe the development center or the development way they develop players is better. I mean, Macklin Celebrini comes in last year, at 17 years old and does what he does. I mean, it's just like, wow. I mean, he's a special talent, but I mean, guys do that in hockey. Baseball, we just got done with the draft. You're trying to project 17 and 18-year-old kids. Their bodies aren't filled out. Their arm, they haven't been taught the proper way. They don't know how to condition. I mean, they're so far away, and you just don't know, and you got to project these guys out. So with that as the backdrop, somebody alerted this, hit me up with something on X yesterday and said Cal Raleigh was taken in the third round of the 2018 MLB draft. Joey Bart was taken second that year. Oh, just the way it goes. I mean, you just don't know how a guy's going to develop. Cal Raleigh out of Florida State. Joey Bart out of Georgia Tech, both a couple of ACC guys, and Joey Bart gets all these accolades, gets the second pick, and then Cal Raleigh's a third rounder. I mean, it's just in the same draft. It's just the way it goes. It's just hard. I mean, it's the hardest by far of all the drafts. And that's why a lot of times it used to be a lot of high school kids. You know, you got your Ken Griffey's and A-Rods and all that kind of stuff, but a lot of times they're they're leaning towards these college kids. Now, I know Washington took a high school shortstop at number one. That was signability. But, you know, on the holidays, of course, Ethan Holiday went and all that kind of stuff. There's a few names in there. My kid, like I said, is at the Cape, you know, writing a ton of stuff about guys. But these college guys, you try to get as much information as you can, is my point. So, for example, Seattle took this pitcher out of LSU, third overall. The kid was at the Cape. The kid pitched in the College World Series. He pitched at LSU. Wins a national title. Like the guy, I mean, you're pitching against some of the best, you know, Vanderbilt's in that conference, Tennessee, just great, great programs. And so at least you've got some track record to go on and you can go, okay, this guy might be pretty good versus you get a kid straight out of high school. Hey, best of luck with that. You know, I mean, use Luciano as a perfect example. Luciano's tearing the cover off the ball right now. They can't find a position for him. God, it feels like Luciano's been in the Giant system for 25 years. Like, my God, I mean, think about taking a kid from the Dominican or something like that. And it's like, how the hell am I going to know what this guy's going to project to? He's playing on fields that are completely uneven, have rocks, have like trailers lining the field. And I'm going to project that guy into the Giants lineup in 5 years or 7 years or something like that. My God, this is so impossible. It is impossible. Anyway, don't mean to go on a rant there. Hi, JR. Yeah, that was weird. I mean, like I said, it is what it is. And Rooker's like, what? I mean, literally by an inch, Cal Raleigh moves on. That was just weird. The other weird thing about last night was, how about the kid that stole the home run? And right away, the umpire was like, yeah, it's a home run. I mean, look, kids, I don't blame the kid. It's like, I got a chance to steal a home run on national TV. I'm taking it. They should have said he stole it. That would have been amazing, man. It would have been amazing. But they didn't. Oh wow, I didn't look at this. Look at this pull. Rod Barajas, right on. Anyway, all right, let's move on to a little bit of things. So again, episode 191, All-Star Game tonight, Home Run Derby, put them in their proper perspective and you will enjoy things a lot more. If you think it's going to be World Series intensity, you will be disappointed. So it is what it is. All right, Giants, let me pop this up on the screen. I got a lot of screen sharing to do with you today. Let me do this. Boy, my eyes are failing me this morning. Here we go. Playoff odds. Let's have fun with playoff odds. We haven't done this yet, and this is a perfect time to do it because it's All-Star Game Day. So if you look right there, the projected wins and loss, strength of schedule, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that you care about is playoff berth and maybe win World Series. So Dodgers are at the top. This is just the National League. Obviously, their projected win total is 96. Win the division 94%. I'd even put it higher. Wild card 5%. Chance to make the playoffs 99.3%. Chance to win the World Series 21%. So I'm not going to go through every single team, but according to FanGraphs, the divisions are pretty well set. If you look at that now, Chicago's down to 63.5. But let's just assume, for the sake of our conversation, Dodgers, Cubs, Phillies win their divisions. All right, Dodgers, Cubs, Phillies win the division. Then they've got the Mets at 85% in the playoffs and the Brewers, who have been unconscious, at 80, almost 83% to win the playoffs. They have a pitcher, by the way, who's got, what, 5 starts and he's in the All-Star game. How stupid is that? But anyway, I digress. So they think with an 80%+ probability that we are set on 5 of our 6 playoff teams. All right. Dodgers, Cubs, Phillies win divisions. Although Brewers have something to say in the Central, Mets certainly have something to say in the East. But pretty much that's what they say. And then here's where it gets fun. All right. They project the Padres to have, let's just call it 0.5. So we'll round that up. 86 wins. They have the Giants at 85 wins. They have the Cardinals at 84 wins. All right. 83.5. Let's round that up. Anything below 0.4 is down. So they're saying dogfight for the final 3 spots. Padres, Giants, Cardinals, 86, 85, 84. Is what they're projecting as far as wins are concerned. Padres at 48% playoff spot, the Giants at 46%, and the Cardinals at 29%. So it could come down to Padres, Giants, at least FanGraphs think so, because they're both around 50-50 as far as making the playoffs. Drops off a little bit to the Cardinals, the Reds, and then I was always expecting the Braves to make a move, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Marlins, Pirates, Nationals, Rockies out of it. So what do you think right there? Would you bet? And like I said, they're saying 46%, so almost at a 50-50 here. Would you bet on the Giants or the Padres to make the playoffs? And to me, it comes down to a couple of different things. Let me throw that off your board. So you've seen it. So they say Dodgers, Cubs, Phillies, Mets, Brewers, and Padres, Giants, or Cardinals, with the Padres, Giants with a heavy lean towards one of those teams. I mean, to me, good morning, JJ Raider. It's good to see you. Give me your thoughts on it. My initial thought is what scares me is that I do the what if game a lot, and I tell you this all the time when a season starts. If you have a lot of what ifs, then that tells you what your team is. And for a minute there, the Giants had all these things kind of wired. Starting pitching looks really good. Bullpen's best in baseball. They picked up Rafael Devers. Looked like they fixed the offense. And there wasn't a lot of what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. And now a couple of weeks later, 11-15, by the way, with Rafael Devers. And I think Devers is going to come around to hit. He's got a couple of nagging injuries that the All-Star break will absolutely help. But now what if? Can Devers play first? Second base is a what if. Short and third, fine. Catcher is what it is. Left field, fine. Center is what it is. Jung-Hoon Lee's not going anywhere. And Mike Yastrzemski probably could use an upgrade. So right, second base, starter, could use a mid-rotation starter. I think you could use a left-handed reliever. I don't need to see Tim Alexander. I don't want to see Joey Lucchese. No. So there is some things. And then since you and I talked about trade deadline a while ago, the Red Sox got hot. What do they want, like 10 in a row going into the All-Star break? So Chapman's not going to be available. Nothing like that. Because I thought Chapman would be Aroldis Chapman would be a perfect left-hander, throws gas, need to let net. That's it. So they're not going to do that. So, but there's plenty of guys out there. Fixing the bullpen is fine. That won't cost you much. Getting a bat, like I said, I got a feeling they're going to look at second base. Because I think that regardless of what everybody says, and I saw a thing, I was reading a thing, I think it might have been Kerry Crowley, who's just a great writer and a great guy, talked about, you know, well, it first base DH really doesn't matter, he was saying, which is, you know, Devers plays first. Basically, you have a rotation. Dom Smith, Devers, and Flores. Those are going to be your three first basemen, and so they got to figure it out. To me, Devers makes the most sense at first base if he can do it, because then I can rotate my DH. Then I can rotate my DH and you know, who's ever hot, I can put at the DH spot. I don't trust Casey Schmidt at second base, so I'd like to see an upgrade there. And then as far as a left-handed, yeah, I'd love to see a left-hander. And then there's a boatload. The one thing about starters, there's a boatload of starters on the last year of their deal. Now, will Arizona give you Zach Gallen? Probably not. Or Woogie, would they give you him? Nah, probably not. But there is a lot of starting pitching out on the – it just depends. Alcantara of the Marlins, like, how much do you want to give up? How much do you believe in this Giants team? Because what you have to do is sit down. If you're Buster Posey, and you have to be realistic. Now, I'm all for going out and getting a top starter and giving up some big time prospects. Not Bryce Eldridge, but you know, I'm for doing that. If you believe, not just make the playoffs, which I think every year the Giants should be in contention. If not making the playoffs, it's been far too long. 2021 seems like a long time ago. They should be in contention every single year for a playoff spot, and then every couple of years at least make it. If not every year, that should be the goal. But how deep do you think you can go? I think that's the biggest thing is if you look at the National League right now, am I going to give up big-time prospects just to make the playoffs? Do I believe I can beat the Dodgers in a series? Can I beat the Phillies in a series? Can I beat the Cubs? Can I beat the Brewers? Can I beat the Mets? Because being one and done, let's say I give up, I don't know anything about these guys or enough to make an educated decision, let's be honest. But like Carson Wisenhunt, the organization knows how good they think he's going to be. Is he going to be a one, a two, a three? Is it going to be a Zach Wheeler? Is it going to be a Phil Bickford? Like, what's he going to be? Is he going to be a big time loss if I lose him? And you know this from me. They can sign pitching. So if Carson Wisenhunt turns into the next whatever and everyone's pissed off that they traded him, that's fine. I can go out and sign guys. They'll sign to pitch in this park. I've always had that opinion. So if you lose somebody, you lose somebody. You're going to get, there's a ton of guys over the last number of years that the Giants have signed as far as starting pitching. My God, a ton of it. You know, the Kevin Gosmans, Carlos Rodon, you know, go on and on and on and on just over the last few years. And that was with Farhan.
Were you signed to pitch in our park?
Wacko. So can you imagine what Buster Posey is going to be able to do on the free agent front as far as getting pitchers? A lot of free agents starting pitchers. So give up Carson Wisenhunt. Maybe he's going to be great. But if you, it's not just can you make the playoffs, which I'm sure because Buster Posey went all in kind of and got Devers, there's probably some pressure on him in his mind from the front office, from the powers that be, from the people who opened up the wallet to say, look, we gave you all this money. We get, you know, to get Devers. You're not going to make the playoffs? So they're kind of all the way. They're already all in. So making the playoffs would be a great first step for Buster Posey in his first full year. But the other side I would say to this whole thing is just getting in is really not enough. I mean, you're not a small market team. So if you get in, can you get into the playoffs? Can you get out of the first round? Can you do something? Because giving up some of your future to just get in, I don't think is great. I don't think that's great. So if you look at the National League, and this year, the National League is a bitch. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. Phillies have a great lineup. Brewers, I don't even know what to say. The Cubs lineup is murderous. If the Cubs go out, their bullpen is great. Their lineup is ridiculous. If they go out and get a top starting pitcher, and the Cubs don't act like a major market team all the time, the Ricketts own them. They own Marquee Sports Network. They could be an absolute monster if they wanted to be. They act like they're the Giants. They act like they're the A's. They act like they're the Red Sox. You know, they just don't spend like they should. So I don't know that the Cubs will go out and get that hammer number one starter. But if they, for the sake of conversation, went out and got a Zach Gallen, who's not having a very good year, but then Gallen kind of got his stuff together. You know, there's a few pitchers like that out there right now. The Cubs could be really nasty come October. So can you beat one of these teams and get into the playoffs? Like the Cubs, for example, I think would be a horrible matchup. Their lineup is so good. They get a hammer bullpen. And if they get some good starting pitching, like they're getting from a guy like Matthew Boyd, who's in the All-Star game tonight, they're going to be tough. So I'm not for mortgaging the future just to get into the playoffs. I've got to look at the National League. If I'm Buster, I'm going to say, if I'm going to mortgage some really good guys, and nothing against Harrison, nothing against anybody they gave up in the Red Sox trade, I don't think that we're going to go back in years and say, man, we shouldn't have moved Harrison. I think that was a total rip on the way of the Giants. It's great. But now, as we get closer to the deadline, the leverage starts swinging to the teams that are trading, not acquiring. And so now you might be giving up somebody for like a rental thing. And obviously, you don't want to do that. So, look, I'm for a trade, but I don't know if I'm for swing for the fences trade, because they've already done that. And I want them to be able to get more than just out of the first round. So that's where we are. Giants, 45% is what FanGraphs say. What say you? Like, what do you think? Do you think they're going to make the playoffs? Do you like that 45%? Do you think they're better than the Padres? Do you think they need a swing for the fences? And what would you do? Would you go one more starter? Would you go left-handed arm out of the pen? Would you get a stick? I mean, they're not getting everything. They're not getting everything. Just knowing the organization a little bit, I think they might go. I keep bringing up this name and everybody hates it, but you know, Yoan Moncada, something like that, because the brothers, again, Angels, Giants, both have, you know, brothers are GMs. I could see something like that. I could also see them thinking, we got to get another starter. We got to get another starter. So we'll see. And then I know I brought this up briefly yesterday, but my God, man. Luciano is just raking at AAA. And he must just not be able to play any position. Like, I know they have him out in left field. They're not going to do that. I mean, that's where Ramos plays every day. He's an everyday guy. I know that they played him a couple times at first base, but they want to get Bryce Eldridge there. But Bryce Eldridge is out. I can't believe that the Giants aren't playing Luciano at first base to see if he could do anything at first base, but they're not. He's staying out in left field. So, I mean, the guy's hot as it can be at Triple A. He's just smoking the ball. Now, you got to take that with a grain, because the last few games they've played in Salt Lake City, and that's, you know, high elevation, but still, the guy's knocking on the door of 20 home runs and he's raking. He's not striking out nearly as much. He's actually walking some. So, God, if you're an offensively challenged team like this team is, don't you have to give Luciano a shot at some point? I mean, this feels, I said this earlier this year, but it feels a little bit like Ramos. Like last year, it was like, okay, they're struggling offensively. I know you kicked Ramos out of camp really early last year, but he was raking so hard at AAA. It was like, okay, we have to bring him up. Like, you just have to. We just have to see. So unfortunately, they've got about 92 DHs on this team, and so it's really tough to bring up Luciano, who doesn't really have a position. Maybe, just maybe, they're just leaving him down there to rake, to say, hey, this guy used to be a top prospect. Come get him. Yeah, there might be a team that could be re-intrigued by Luciano. In other words, they were high on him because he was a top 10 prospect at one point, or at least top 20. And then he kind of, you know, dies down, and then now he's playing so well that maybe they're just trying to showcase him. Like, he's just raking and raking and raking. You go, hey, man, look at this guy. Because right now with the Giants, there's nowhere to put him. You know, Devers is a DH. Flores is a DH. You know, I mean, they've got DHs. They're flush with DH. And so maybe they're just showcasing him and he continues to hit bombs and the Giants go, hey, man, this guy used to be a top prospect. Now look at him. He's blooming late. Trade for him. Give us X player. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's where the trade is going to be. So, oh, we're getting a lot of Pat Brewer trash. Yeah, I've talked about Pat Brewer a ton. They probably need a new message in the ear. I don't know what's going on. I know that Buster Posey loves the guy, but still, I'm with you. Nothing personal against the guy, but you know, they need a new voice. There's no doubt about it. All right, Giants 45%. Top 10 QBs. Anything else on baseball before I move on? And again, All-Star game tonight. Anything else baseball-related that anybody's got on the text line this morning, or excuse me, text line, on the chat room this morning? And again, we're at John Lund Unleashed. I'm reading the chat from our good friends in the chat room. If you are in here today and you're brand new, please say hello and good morning. Everyone would love to welcome you. I'm with you, Dom. I doubt Arizona's going to trade with the Giants. And if they do, then they're going to want a premium because they don't want their player. Although I will say this, a guy like Zach Gallen, for example, whom I don't think the Giants are going to get, but you know, he's gone at the end of the year anyway. And I think if Arizona could get something for Zach Gallen, because they made their choice. The one thing about a small market team, and you all know this, and I wouldn't say Phoenix is small market, it's middle market. But the one thing I would say about it is they can't make mistakes. So they take Corbin Burns, right, and they give him, what, they give him $220 million, whatever they gave him. That kind of pushes Zach Gallen out the door. They can't keep everybody. And they've got some free agents. So maybe they can't keep Zach Gallen, I don't know, but he's going to cost a ton of money despite the fact that he's having a horrible year. And so they think to themselves, look, we went with Corbin Burns. He got hurt. We got burned. We can't sign everybody. We're not going to be able to sign Zach Gallen, so just for the sake of conversation, I don't think they'd care to take Luciano, but hey, we could take Luciano and a pitcher and at least we got something for Zach Gallen. I doubt it. I agree with you. I doubt it. My philosophy has always been, I'm just looking out for my team and I'm just trying to get my team better. So if I'm trading within division, who cares? Like Billy Beane would always say, like, whatever, their issue is their issue. Our issues are our issues. Billy Beane always said, hey, I'll trade with anybody anytime. Like, what are you giving me? That's what it comes down to for me. Like, yeah, it wouldn't be a whole lot of fun to watch a certain player like that's, you know, not to go back to Kuminga for the millionth time. But like one of the reasons the Warriors aren't going to trade with the Kings is, first of all, the offer was shit that they got. But second of all, just in case Kuminga at what, 22, 23 is going to blossom into something, they don't want to see it happening up, you know, right up north. I mean, they did that, right, when they traded Mitch for Billy Owens. And they probably learned their lesson. Like, yeah, a guy in your backyard kicking your ass is no fun. And your fan base doesn't forget it. So there's that. All right, let's get to a little bit of NFL talk. I meant to get to this yesterday, and because I was a little bit short on time and we talked a lot about Juwan Jennings, I didn't get to it. And again, this is just another philosophy of mine. So let me – I have so many windows open. What am I doing? Oh, here we go. Right here. Everybody loves to talk about top 10. So of course it's slow right now. We got another week, by the way, rookies report today for the 49ers a week from today. We've got training camp to talk about, so we don't have to do these lists anymore, but, top 10 quarterbacks. So that's where they are. And they did linebackers today. Patrick Mahomes, there's no question, whatever. I don't care what kind of season he has. How I judge players is, what do they do in the biggest moments? Who do you want behind center in a playoff game? Who do you want behind center when there's the last drive of the game? This guy. I know he's killed the 49ers and ripped their hearts out and everything like that, but he's a generational player. And so we all go, this guy's really good. Like, whatever. He's ripped our hearts out, hate the guy, talks like Kermit the Frog, his wife's obnoxious, blah, 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 is a dad bod, don't care. He's the best quarterback in the league. And there's nobody else I'd want behind center. That's how I gauge it. I don't care what the numbers are. I don't care how many yards he throws for. Don't care about interceptions. Don't care about QBR. Don't care about quarterback rating. Don't care, don't care, don't care. What it comes down to is, who do you want with 2 minutes on the clock with the ball? That guy. Who do you not want to see with 2 minutes on the clock and you're the opposition and he has the ball? That guy. Because we've seen it too much. So he's number one, and it's not even close. So whoever ranked him four, it's his highest ranking one, lowest ranking four, shut up. You're a moron. You're a complete moron. All right? Josh Allen, always great. Just can't seem to get over the hump. No issue there. There's four great quarterbacks in this league right now, right? Joe Burrow, I could, you know, if somebody put him at one, you're not putting him ahead of Mahomes. I mean, what's he ever won? Look, they're really good. He's really good. He's not better than Mahomes. And then Lamar Jackson is your fourth. So there's a level of four quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson's great, but again, until he starts winning playoff games or even gets to a Super Bowl, I don't care what he does during the season. His highlights are amazing. He's a great runner. He might be the best combination of runner passer that we've ever seen in the game, but he hasn't won anything. So you can't be first. You've got to be fourth. So the other guys that we're seeing in this, you know, again, Josh Allen's got to step it up. But if you get to Super Bowls and win Super Bowls, you're number one. So Lamar Jackson, there's four. Then there's a major drop off. No way. At no friggin' way is he five. There's just not. This reminds me of CJ Stroud a year ago. What happened in the offseason is these teams are going to look at his weaknesses. I think the Washington's going to have a drop off this year. We'll see. We'll see on Jaden Daniels. I would never put a second year player in the top five quarterbacks. He just hasn't proven it long enough. There's got to be a way. So look, five, lowest ranking 10. Is he a top 10 quarterback? I'd put him 10 because he's done it 1 year. They had a great magical year. They snuck up on a bunch of people. What's going to happen when all the defensive coordinators in the division go, okay, there's one guy to stop and it's that guy. And we'll see. I like the guy. He's super mature. He's very good. No bad things to say about him, but it reminds me a lot of CJ Stroud, where after his rookie year, but he's, you know, putting him in the top five. And it's like, slow down, man. He did it for 1 year. So look, I like Jaden Daniels, but let's see. Let's see him do it again. I wouldn't put him top five. Stafford, to me, five through about 12 is any given Sunday. You know, who cares? Who knows? Stafford, and again, Stafford's a guy just, this is the way I look at it. Behind center, you're up four with 2 minutes left. I don't want to see Matthew Stafford on the field, even at 37. I think he's top five. Herbert, I've loved Herbert forever, but it's his physical skills. They still haven't won anything. I like the guy. He can be inconsistent. He throws it through a brick wall. I don't think he's seventh. Potentially he is. Jared Goff, way overrated at eight. This is where you start thinking about Brock Purdy. Like, is Purdy better than Goff? I mean, Goff's playing inside with all those weapons. Putting him eighth? Nah. Jalen Hurts, I'd probably put higher because I put more of a value on winning. Somebody had him unranked. I don't know how you do that. He's just a winner. He just does what it takes to win. I know you hate the Eagles, but he's a top 10 guy. And then here's where everybody freaks out if you're a 49ers fan. Baker Mayfield ahead of Brock Purdy. Oh, my. Whatever. Highest ranking five. One thing about him that you got to give him credit for is Tampa's got good, not great skill position players, and there's Tampa every single year, right? So he's dug himself out of a hole. First overall pick with the Browns, bounced to the, remember he bounced for that, was it the Monday night game for the Rams? He's done a nice job, you know, but right here, this is probably where you put Brock in here. And here's what blows me away. CJ Stroud, like I told you, Jordan Love, also receiving votes. Kyler, Purdy, Dak, Rodgers. Now let me, Tua overrated, Bo Nix did it for 1 year. Maybe you're like, oh my God, this is an outrage. You'd rather have your guy be underrated than overrated. Let me just throw one thing in real quick, and then I'll go back to Brock for a second. So then they did linebackers and today, and Fred Warner, like, not even close. Off-ball linebackers. Whoever ranked him two is an idiot. I mean, he's not number two. He stops playing right now. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's awesome. So we don't have to talk a ton about Fred, but those are off-ball linebackers. Those are boring. But as far as Brock is concerned, let me just give you a personal philosophy of mine. And I've kind of come to this conclusion on Brock. I don't get angry anymore. I never got angry. It's a top 10 list. Who the hell cares? Even if it's personnel directors. I say this again and again and again. They all have an egg on their face on the Brock Purdy thing. People ask why Brock Purdy gets underrated. He'll never, 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 never outrun 262. He just never will. He'll never outrun 262. He can win five Super Bowls. He'll never outrun 262. People still won't give him credit. It's Kyle Shanahan's offense. It's the talent around him. It's McCaffrey. It's Kittle. It's the defense. It's Warner. It's Bosa. It's blah, 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 blah. It's easy. He's a system quarterback. Whatever. They don't understand. They cannot compute, and this is from NFL evaluators all the way to, you know, drunk fans, that it just cannot compute that his number one superpower is mental. They just does not compute. Like, they just, if you don't throw it through a wall, if you don't run fast, do this, do that, if it's not physical, they can't figure it out. Personnel evaluators, let alone fans, they can't. They just can't. It cannot and does not compute. And then as far as, because this was done, this poll was done with scouts, personnel evaluators, all those kind of things, they still have egg on their face from Purdy, and so they hate him. I mean, that's honestly what it is. They have owners and people high up in the front office going to scouts and personnel people going, how the fuck did you miss on Purdy? Why didn't we get Purdy? How come we didn't draft him? Yeah, they're pissed. So everyone asks, why are people upset with Brock Purdy? Because the owner comes down from the booth and says, wait a minute, I'm paying this quarterback $50 million and Brock Purdy just got paid $1 million for the first 4 years of his career. What the hell, bro? What's going on? What's happening? They get mad, and then that shit runs downhill, and everybody's upset. So I understand why personnel people don't vote him in the top 10, because they're pissed, because they've gotten ripped by their organization, their owner, everybody over Brock. So that's the organizational side. And then that just runs downhill, because what happens is the dumb people during the day who have the talking head shows, which we'll get to Fox and firing people in a few minutes, but they just take that from those so-called insiders that they talk to, and they're like, okay, Brock's, you know, this or that. And then they see shortcomings. Oh, Brock doesn't do this. Brock didn't do that. Like, the reality of last year is all these injuries and all the things that they happened, and yet people still held them to that same standard. I'm sorry, Brandon Ayuk was out, all these injuries, Trent Williams is dead. Like, if it was a lot of other quarterbacks to be able to look what he's working with. With Brock, it's like, see, he sucks. Told you. It's fine. I'm to the point where it's like, look, and I feel like this, again, show philosophy, personal philosophy. Underrate my guy. Don't make my guy number one. Then he has to live up to it. Now, Mahomes is going to live up to it. But Jaden Daniels at five. If I'm a Washington fan, I don't want to see Jaden Daniels at five. I want to see Jaden Daniels underrated. Who had Jaden Daniels doing what he did last year? Who had Washington doing what they're doing? Now you have a target on your back. Now teams have figured out, okay, we're going to make you do this. It's like scouting a hitter. Okay, you come out of the minor leagues. Nobody knows who you are. You're raking the first month. And then they go, okay, we adjust to that. Can you do that? Oh, you can. Okay, let's adjust to this. They continue to adjust until they find something. And more times than not, they do find something, and you're not quite as good as you once were. It's just what happens. I like Jaden Daniels. He's not the fifth best quarterback in the league. You could start you could start the conversation for Brock, for Stafford, for Herbert, for any of these guys at five. You could make an argument. And any given Sunday, those first four quarterbacks that were on that list, Mahomes is clearly number one. I would put Josh Allen two. He carries the Bills constantly. Burrow three and Lamar Jackson four. In some order, whatever order you want to put them in, fine. But those are the four. And then 5 to 12 is any given Sunday. Brock is in there. Goff is in there. Hurts is in there. Stafford is in there. I'd probably maybe put Stafford fifth and then start the conversation. But that's what it is. It's just 5 to 12 is any given Sunday. Baker Mayfield is in there. Like, there's a number of different guys could have a great Sunday, and that's it. And then there's another drop off, maybe 10, maybe not 12, but like 5 to 10, there's a group, and then like 10 plus, there's a group. And that's just kind of how it works. So give me your thoughts. Everybody gets into these quarterback lists. I don't get pissed. And I'd rather, as a show philosophy, personal philosophy, I don't want my guy overrated. Underrate my guy. Underrate my team. I don't know why people get so pissed off about their, did you hear what they said about my team? Did you see the list they made? Did you see the Mount Rushmore? They left my guy off. Good. Let him fly under the radar. Let him fly under the radar. Because when people expect something out of you, like when the Warriors go into a building, as long as they have Steph Curry, it doesn't matter what the record is, the team's going to get up for him. The Warriors can't sneak up on anybody ever until Steph Curry retires. They'll always be that team where it's like, oh, Steph Curry's over there. I don't care what the record is. They could be 10 under 500. We're going to play our hardest against them tonight. That's what it is. And that's a hell of a burden. Sneak up on everybody. I love that the 49ers were 6-11 last year and nobody expects anything out of them. That's awesome. That's great. 6-11. Nobody gives. Brock stinks. McCaffrey's off an injury. They're getting old. Their window's shut. Awesome. That's where I want them to be. I want all the jackasses to say they don't have a chance. That's the best place to be. Embrace it. Brock's not top 10. Cool. Good. Awesome. Incredible. All right. So that's your top 10 quarterback list. I like the list going down in the chat room. I have no idea why they're happening, but I do. Yeah, I would call Brock a good quarterback, but on any given Sunday, he could be 5 to 10. I mean, that's just what it is, 5 to 10. All right, as far as Juwan Jennings is concerned, we did a ton on Juwan Jennings. In fact, I popped this up yesterday in regards to him, 49ers wide receiver options. I mean, they're not great because chances are Ayuk's going to miss a little while. Pearsall, we don't know. Cowing, a lot of good things are being said. We don't know. Watkins had running around in shorts look good. Robinson's going to be suspended for that DUI for a few games. Tyreek Hill's not coming. They're not getting into another contract thing with Terry McLaurin. Kendrick Bourne, they like. Treylon Burks is a former washout first-round pick. Cortland Sutton, probably can't get him. Smith-Schuster, they deep in Kansas City, might be able to get him. Call Harbaugh, Quentin Johnson's been a complete first-round bust, maybe. Watson, I put up there, but right there is an injury, but Green Bay's got a lot of depth at wide receiver and took a wide receiver, Matthew Golden, in the first round out of Texas. I'd call Carolina right now and get Adam Thielen. Free agents, Amari Cooper. I don't know if Amari Cooper's asking for too much money, but if you ask me if Cooper was on the 49ers, Cooper or Jennings, who would have the better year? I'd probably say Amari Cooper. So I don't know how much leverage Jennings has here. Cooper, Keenan Allen, Gabe Davis, Tyler Boyd, Allen Robinson. I don't love those names. Point is at this juncture of the offseason, it's not offseason, it's a real season now. We're at the beginning of 2025, the actual season. There's not a lot of great names out there. There's not. There's not going to be. But I've thought about this a lot overnight, and you know, we talked about this yesterday, and I put up all these different things and scenarios and what they could do. If I'm the 49ers, I don't know what they're going to do, but if I'm the 49ers, this is where I'm drawing the line. I can't draw it at Purdy. I can't draw it at Kittle. I can't draw it at Warner. I can't draw it at Bosa. But if you're going to stay consistent to what you were and what you did in the offseason, you decided to yourself, okay, all these different guys that are getting older and more expensive and injury-prone and not playing as many games, we're not doing that. Now, are we going to keep our superstar core together? Yeah, we're going to do that. But then other guys are just going to have to step up around him. And if Juwan Jennings is going to do this, especially at this time, and by the way, I got a tweet yesterday and somebody said, I find it very hard to believe that the 49ers didn't know this was coming. I'm just telling you from who I talked to, this was a blindsider. They didn't think this was going to happen. Now, it looks like Juwan Jennings is going to come to camp. We'll see. But when you say, pay me or trade me, that's not great. And if you know another one of these damn hold-ins, in other words, I'm here, but I'm not playing, fuck that, right? Nah. Didn't it just stay away? Because you see how big of a pain in the ass that was? There's Brandon Ayuk on the field hugging everybody and everything, and he's hanging around. Like, go away. Like, if you're not going to participate in training camp, fuck that you're in the meeting. Sorry, but this pisses me off. Like, I don't want you in the meetings. I don't want you around. Like, if you're not going to participate on the field, go away. We saw this. We saw this last year, what a distraction it was, and the media's around, and they're taking shots. Hey, there's Brandon Ayuk. Ooh, he just bro-hugged John Lynch. Ooh, he just gave knuckles to Kyle Shanahan. Like, that was the report. Like, get out of here. No. You're either here and you're working or you're not. Sitting in meetings, all that kind of stuff, whatever. Go away. And when you're ready to play, come back. But if I'm I said this yesterday, and I think more and more about this, and this is the direction I'd go if I was the Niners. I sign my core guys. And I've got to draw a line at some point, because if Juwan Jennings pushes me around, if I'm the 49ers, if Juwan Jennings now pushes me around, anybody can push me around. He's a nice player. He's a number three wide receiver. I like him a lot. He's a glue piece. He plays hard. He developed. You know, he blocks guys into the bench. He's fun. I like everything about Juwan Jennings, but he can't push me around. Bosa, Warner, Kittle, Purdy, I got no choice. But on Juwan Jennings, if I allow him to push me around and get a new contract when I just signed him to one last year, then all of a sudden that's all that's left. Like, he's pushing me around? Nah. So I'm calling his agent and going, okay, I got your message. Loud and clear. I'm John Lynch. I got your message loud and clear. Go find the trade. Go find it. We need a third-round pick. We need a third-round pick next year and or a competent wide receiver. We'd love a competent wide receiver and a pick. So go find it. Like, I don't have time. I have training camp. You guys just threw this on me right now. I got stuff to do. It's the 2025 season. We got rookies coming in here right now. A week from now, we got actual training camp. Your guy doesn't want to be here. I get it. So go find it. Go find the deal. Go find the third round pick or go find the wide receiver and late round pick that we need. Go for it. Go ahead. Go find it because I don't have time to find it. Like, you're not putting this burden on me. Go. You have my permission to talk to all the teams in the league. Go for it. And oh, by the way, most teams are set now their roster and their financial outlook. They're, you know, on the year. This is the amount we have and all that. That's pretty well set as well. So go for it. Go find it. Go find that deal, and we'll see. you know, New England off the top of my head. I said this yesterday. I went through all the teams. There's a number of teams that could use a wide receiver, but you're going to that team and saying, hey, give me a pick and give me a receiver. You know, give me even an upside receiver and a pick. You know, go ahead. Do it. So we'll see. But that's what I would do. I would just say, look, okay, you want to trade. The burden is not on me. We don't really want to trade you. We don't want to give you a new contract. We can't get pushed around, but here's what we're going to do. You're going to go find that trade. That's it. Go for it. So that's my thought on Juwan Jennings. We spent a ton of time on it yesterday. If you want to hit me up on some Juwan Jennings stuff, you can hit me up here. You can hit me up at X, or we did probably the first 45 minutes of the show on Juwan Jennings yesterday. So we could do that. So let me know if you want to hit up some more Juwan Jennings, but that's what I would do. I'm going to get pushed around by the stars of the team. I get it financially. I got to draw the line at Juwan Jennings. I like the guy. Nothing against him. I realize his value. I understand the culture fit, all those kind of things, and I am really short at the position. I am. But you know what, Ricky Pearsall, you were a first-round pick. Got to step up. Hey, Jordan Watkins, you ran around in shorts really nice. Put on the pads and let's see. Hey, Jacob Cowing, everybody, you ran a 4.38. You were great at Arizona. Time to step up. You know, and then you call Amari Cooper and you go, hey, dude, I don't know what you're asking for, but let's go. Maybe Amari Cooper and a lot of these guys, they just don't want to be in camp. Like, they're like, I'm not signing right before camp. So I don't know what it is. But if Amari Cooper is sitting out there, he's a different receiver than Juwan Jennings. I understand that. But at the end of the day, from a production standpoint, is Amari Cooper going to be more productive or is Juwan Jennings going to be more productive? I mean, I think Amari Cooper is. So that's all I'd say. I'd say you're going to try to push me around. I'll do Amari Cooper for a year. You know, I just go to Juwan Jennings and say, there's two things we can do here. Either you can come in and this is going to be it. That's it. We're not doing a new contract, or you can go find your own deal. And then other guys got to step up. I sign Amari Cooper and I pray on Brandon Ayuk. It's not an ideal situation, but I can't get pushed around by this dude. Nah. All right. That's the Niners side of things. And remember, we will be down at training camp. We're going to have a ton of good stuff for you. So keep on the channel. Make sure you have those alerts on. We'll post a bunch of videos and fun stuff, and we'll do stand-ups on the field and all that kind of stuff. So we will start doing that next week. Let's see. LeBron trade. That's where we're on the chalkboard. So episode 191, All-Star game tonight. Home run derby. Giants 45%. Top 10 QBs. More Jennings. And then we're at the LeBron trade. If you missed anything, you can do one of two things. Either go back, or I will post the chapter so you can just watch whatever you want later, or you can stay with the show right now, and then we'll post and you can go back to what you want to hear or watch. But that's what we got so far. All right, let's do a little LeBron trade here. I told you I was gonna share my screen with you a lot today. So let me hold on one second. Share my screen with you. There we go. On this LeBron thing. And I'm going to play a video for you. Okay, did that. I got to really cut down on some of these. I got so many things open here. Playoff odds, that. That's not what I want. There it is. Is that it? LeBron. I thought I had a video of it, but I could be 100% wrong. So give me one more second. And if I can't find this video, then we'll, it was an ESPN thing. Where the heck is it? Or maybe it was a Yahoo. No. There it is. Is that it? Yeah. I don't know. I cannot find it. That's weird. I had a video up there of it. No big deal. Over the last couple of days, there have been some LeBron James rumors to the Warriors and other teams. I said this last year when I was watching the Lakers flame out of the playoffs. Luka Doncic is up for a contract extension. They're building the team around Luka Doncic. The whole reason that they traded for Luka Doncic is that the Lakers, as well or better than anybody else in their history, before they lost one superstar, they got the next one. So they kept the chain going, right? For the most part, in my lifetime and in probably your lifetime, that's what they've been able to do. They just get the next, right? They get Kobe and Shaq and, you know, on and on and on and on and on. You know, Kareem, Magic, they just boom, 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 boom. They keep getting a new superstar, right? That's just what they do. And so they're looking at LeBron James. They're going, okay, this is going to be his last year. It's been well chronicled. They don't want to sign him to an extension. And they look at Luka and they say, here's a guy that's 26, 27 years old. He's in the prime of his career. And so what they're going to do is, what kind of players do you need around Luka? Well, on one end of the floor, he doesn't play any defense. So you got to get some 3 and D's. You got to get some rim protectors because guys are going to do blow by. So you got to, that's how you got to do it. Then you look on the other end. What does Luka need? He needs shooters, right? So he's going to drive in. He's going to make a decision. He's going to kick it out to a shooter who's probably open because he's drawn the defense, or he's going to need pick and roll guys, or he's going to need vertical centers, right? Guys who can go up and get a lob. Well, if you looked at what Dallas has, especially when we went to the NBA Finals, they had 3 and D guys. They had vertical type centers. They had pick and roll guys. They didn't have the superstar guys, but they had guys who filled a bunch of roles. And they were of a certain age, so they could grow with him. Well, that's what Dallas did, and they got to the finals doing it. Now you look at the Lakers, totally mismatched. It's LeBron and Luka. It's my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. Both are pretty indifferent when it comes to defense. They still, I mean, Ayton can do some lob stuff, some pick and roll stuff, but it's not like he's a pick and pop, kind of a, you know, a jump shooter outside a certain amount. He's not exactly perfect, but hey, I tell you this all the time. That's free agency, right? You're not going to get the perfect guy, but he's got some size, so he's not terrible. It'll work. But he doesn't have as many of the 3 and D guys. It's not a perfect roster. And then the other side of it is LeBron's 40, and he needs the ball in his hands. Luka's of a certain age, needs the ball in his hands. If I'm the Lakers, why am I going to wait another year? Like, I already know what the Western Conference is. It's kind of like the Warriors. You're not good enough. You're not going to win anything. So why not trade LeBron? I said this at the end of the season. I'm watching him go, my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. That's not going to work with guys who are different on defense. So I said at the end of the year, I'm like, you got to trade LeBron. It just makes a lot of sense. And now he's in a year where he's kind of a lame duck. He knows they're not building around him. He's got a gigantic ego. Why wouldn't you just trade him now? This might be his last year. It might not. But and then I look at the Warriors, for example, and I go, look, you're the old man team. Lean into it. Completely lean into it. Like, I don't know what the Lakers would take for LeBron James. But you got 2 years here, and you're not good enough. Al Horford, wow. So what? He's 39 years old. He hasn't signed here yet, but even if he were to, that's not getting you anywhere out of, like, the sixth or seventh spot. What else you got? Oh, yeah, DeAnthony Melton. Oh, yeah, that's going to do it. Like, no, these other teams have made moves, like Houston getting Kevin Durant. You know, San Antonio, I think, is going to mature. Dallas is going to be a lot better. OKC goes without saying. Denver made a lot of nice moves. Like, these teams are better than you. And you need a swing for the fences kind of a move. So, if I'm the Warriors, I'm calling the Lakers right now and going, what do you want? I mean, you'd have to give up Jimmy Butler. There's no doubt. But you're in a two-year window, and then it's over. LeBron James isn't what he used to be, but he can play for 2 more years. And he gives you a better chance. I mean, they want Draymond Green? Fine. You know, whatever it takes, you know, either Draymond or Jimmy, not both, but one of the two. And then, you know, I'm not giving up Kuminga to the Lakers. Kuminga might go somewhere else. But the reality is that I'd make a trade for LeBron James in a second. And I don't like the goofy stuff, a lot of the goofy stuff he does, or, you know, put the crown on his head or whatever. I don't care about that, though. I just care about what happens on the court. So, yeah, he's kind of an unlikable guy. I don't care. I don't care about any of that stuff. If I'm going old man, I'm completely 100% leaning into old man. I'm leaning into old man. So I'd do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. And if I'm the Lakers, like, this thing doesn't fit. It's just not a good fit. And that's what hoops is about, right? Does everybody fit around you? Like, when you looked at the Mavericks 2 years ago when they went to the NBA Finals and you looked at it and you said, this isn't the most talented team. Well, of course it's not, but it fit. The pieces fit around Luka. Right now they don't. They don't at all. And the Lakers, wow, you got DeAndre Ayton. Half the time, he's completely disinterested. Can you imagine what the Lakers are going to look like on the defensive end of the floor? LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, DeAndre Ayton. Like, who's going to defend anybody on that team? They're going to give up 125 a night. They're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. So what's the point? And LeBron said, look, I want to be on a championship team. Well, everybody does. Everybody does. But simply saying that team ain't going to work. And maybe midway through the season, they'll do something like that. But I'm just saying, man, you want LeBron? I mean, look at Braun, Horford, Steph, Green, the Jared All-State Dubs. I think I called them the Golden Age Dubs. You know, look, I'm just saying, look, they're already an old man team. So why wouldn't you just completely lean into the thing and say, look, we got 2 years here. And OKC's better and Houston's better and all these different teams. You can go get Al Horford and jump up and down. He's 39, man. It's not happening. It's not, that didn't make any difference at all. So give me your thoughts on LeBron. Yeah, they're going to need Dr. Riopelle. Believe me. They're going to need Dr. Riopelle. I mean, look, they're old. I'm just simply saying that they're old now. I mean, Jimmy's not young. What's Jimmy, 35? I like Jimmy. It's just if you replace, let's say that the Lakers would take Jimmy and, I don't know, Moses Moody, whatever. You're better. I mean, you're better. All right. Fox Shake Up. I think I do have this on my screen today, and you probably already heard about this, but the or FS1, I should say, they're talking head shows, which do nothing. I got to be honest with you. I'm being 100% honest. I've never seen any of these shows. Joy Taylor does nothing for me. She essentially was on with Colin Cowherd, got popular there. She was annoying on that show. She didn't ever say anything to me that was anything. I can't think of anything she said or I ever went, oh. So the only time I saw her was when she was on Colin Cowherd's show. I never watched Breakfast Ball, but I know that Craig Carton was on that show and he's garbage. The Facility I never watched. I know it was a bunch of former players. I never watched it. And I guess Joy Taylor was on Speak. And I found that out because I read that article. Those shows did nothing. Apparently what Fox is doing is they're talking to Barstool, which I understand because they're thinking to themselves, okay, a little Pat McAfee or whatever, type of a spinoff thing. So they're going to probably hire some Barstool guys and they're going to do the same thing. And then those shows will get fired in a year. I think it's completely shocking that any of these shows get any ratings. They kept Cowherd's show. They kept another show on there that I think the guy's a total clown that I won't even mention his name. He's a total clown. So they've never had any success on any of those shows doing anything. As far as ESPN, they're trying to compete with them. Screaming A for some reason it works. Just to go to McAfee. McAfee last night was getting tons and tons of blowback. And it's just ESPN trying to expose those guys to everything. And I think a lot of people made a great point, which is, look, I know Pat McAfee. I have no issue with him. You know, cut off the sleeves, yell, do this, that, and the other. It's just baseball has a certain cadence to it. And maybe you're trying to get that, you know, Happy Gilmore crowd, you know, in the first movie where it's like, you know, you all these, you know, guys running around or the 16th hole at the Waste Management or any of these kind of things. I mean, you're just trying to get a different kind of a person to watch that. And that's fine. Knock yourself out. But I've said this many, many times. If you want to have the talking head shows during the day and they say jackassery type of things and stupid things and all that kind of stuff and whatever, you know, you say this, you say that, and it's all contrived and all that kind of stuff, that's fine. But when you get close to an actual game, please know. Like Stephen A. Smith on the pregame with Kendrick Perkins for the NBA Finals, no. You want to be a jackass during the day, fine, but not that close to a game, a real game. Same with FS1 or any of these ones. Like, just do you ever see, like, Fox, for example, FS1? You ever see Troy Aikman on FS1? He's with ESPN, but you never see him on ESPN or Joe Buck. But, like, Fox has, you know, Howie Long and Terry Bradshaw and all those different guys, and they do all their broadcasters. They're never on those jackass shows during the day because it's a total separate entity, and they don't want to mix them. Don't mix them up. Keep them separate. You want to do the dumb stuff during the day? That's fine. Whatever. That's what you do. You're trying. You're just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, but okay. But anybody with any kind of credibility whatsoever never goes on those shows. Never, 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 never. They don't. They want it to be totally separate. So Fox and FS1 are the same thing. You never see those broadcasters who have credibility on those shows. They never go on those shows. And it's the same thing on ESPN. They're like, keep it away. Like, fine, you want to have dumb stuff during the day? I don't have to watch it, but I want to watch the game. And then you put those people on the game and it pisses people off because they get it. They're like, look, you're doing all this kind of stuff, yelling and screaming and dumb stuff. That's fine. Do it during the day. When you get close to the game, please know. Like, just have people that know what they're talking about. Just people that know what they're talking about. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to see. That's fine. If you want to have an alternative channel, if you've been watching me for a long time, I've talked about this forever. I'm down. I am 100% down with an alternative channel. You want to put McAfee on an alternative channel where I have to go find him? Fine. You want to put Screaming A and a bunch of jackasses on the NBA Finals on an alternative channel? Fine. See how that does. Most people don't want to watch it. The only alternative channel that's worth a shit is the Mannings. And that can be hit and miss, and I like the Mannings. It just kind of depends. And they've kind of figured it out because they were having people promoting movies and all these different people and all that. and it's kind of boring. But when they have some people that are fun and actually have knowledge of it, then it works. Like, they've kind of worked the kinks out. They were having some technical issues with it, all these different things. But then they kind of figured it out, and it's much better. And I like those guys. So put those kind of personalities on an alternative channel. And all the jackasses who want to be stupid and hear stupid shit, then they can go onto that channel. But if you put it on the mainstream channel adjacent or during the game, they're just not, people aren't down. They're just not down. I mean, they'll watch. They'll just turn the sound down. It's amazing how much, I don't know if you're like this. Have you found that, like, if I'm going to watch a game, I'm going to watch a game. But do you find that you're turning the volume down much, much more? I constantly am turning the volume down on games. Just constant. Because it's like, oh, my God, do I really got to hear this? I mean, there's a local team right now that I'm turning down the sound every single time, especially when there's a home run hit. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't. It's killing the enjoyment. And I honestly, for the first X amount of life of my life, it was like I'd never turn the volume down. Like, I can live with just about every broadcaster. Now it's getting bad. It's getting really bad. So anyway, there's my rant on that. Fox shakeup, whatever. McAfee, a lot of people were pissed off that he was on the broadcast last night. I got a really good caboose for you that I was going to do yesterday. So we'll do the caboose in just a second. But let me go back out and say hello to everybody. Why am I getting nicknames today? What's going on? Somebody explain. It's amazing. Look, the guy's got one thing he can do. He's a loudmouth New Yorker, and he's really good on WFAN or whatever sports radio they have back there. He's a regional taste. I mean, seriously, he is really hard to listen to. Like, he's as dumb as they come. And then he's just got the New York accent, and he's been really effective there. But anywhere else he's tried to be, it's like, dude, that is not a nationwide kind of a guy. He's just not, hey, the Yankees, the Mets. It's like, dude, you're the dictionary definition of a New Yorker. Just do that. Like, I felt bad for the guys that were on that show when I'd see, like, some highlights or something. But, yeah, by and large, I can count the amount of minutes I watched any of those Fox shows on one hand. Terrible. It blows your mind. Like, certain people said, yep, this is going to be a really good chemistry mix. You're like, what? You got hired to actually put people together, and that's what you came up with? Brutal. The Dubs will be in Social Security if that happens. Yeah, look, they're already there. Like, just lean in. Just go. Go. You're already there, man. Yeah, they were saying, Mark, that LeBron hadn't even texted Ayton yet. That when Ayton got even it was rumored that he was going to the Lakers, Luke was like, yeah, good to have you aboard. That it had been like 2 weeks he did his press conference. He goes, yeah, I haven't heard anything from LeBron. LeBron's like, no, I know how bad you are. I know that when I get blown by, you're not going to do anything. You're just going to escort the guy to the rim. That's going to be fun. Seriously, the Lakers are going to go up like 125 a night. Just brutal. It's going to be brutal. So anyway, all right. Let's do what time we got here? 10:22. All right. Let's do a sweet, clean, family friendly caboose pistol. It is.
John Lund Unleashed presents the caboose pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, caboose pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say caboose pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
All right, this is how we finish every show. By the way, thanks for joining us. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please migrate over. Hit the like button before you get out of here today. Do also subscribe and hit or keep those alerts. If you're watching on X at John Lund Radio or Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Bay Area Sports Collective, thanks for hanging out with us on episode 191 on a Tuesday. We end every show with a sweet, clean, family friendly caboose. So let me go back to yesterday because I felt like I rushed through this. I thought this was hilarious. So we played this yesterday, but I had to be on a call. And so I was like, okay, and then we hit this and we got to go. Okay, see you later. So this is hilarious. And you could tell that these two have a pretty good relationship. So this is a Daniel Cormier, and he's asking an MMA fighter right after he finishes, gets a win, what's next? As in your career, what's next? But that's not what he said.
Not the first time he's had a loving message to his wife. First time.
Oh, wait a minute. Here we go.
Derek, back in the win column, extending your record for most knockouts in UFC history. What do you want next, my friend?
I've been gone for 2 weeks, so I want my wife next. It's gonna be a lot of ground and pounding. Ground and pounding. She know what it is. Find that.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the beast, Derek Lewis.
That was outstanding. What's next? Ground and pound. Ground and pound. And she's like, yep. So here, I rushed through this yesterday, but I got a great story for you. Speaking of that. So I'm working in Detroit, and we're the flagship of the Lions, and we're out on the field. We're broadcasting, did a morning show from 6 to 10 in the morning, and we're broadcasting from the field, right? The Niners don't let us do that, whatever. The Raiders let us do that, Lions. It's cool. So you can watch camp, and you're broadcasting a show, and they bring guys over in their pads, and they sit down. And so we had a number of guys on, and it was cool, and we're having fun with them and all that kind of stuff. And my co-host, his name was Mark Spindler. He was a former Detroit Lion and knew, hadn't been out of the game that long at that point. This is probably 2004, something like that. And so he knew a lot of the guys who had been broadcasting with Lions for a long time. And so we're just sitting there, we're doing shows. And I don't know if you remember a kicker by the name of Jason Hansen. He went to Washington State, was a Lions kicker forever. Well, I didn't know this, but Mark did. And Mark, Jason Hansen had been around so long that Mark was actually teammates with him when they played. And Jason Hansen was a devout Christian. So he comes over to the table, and Mark was having fun with a lot of these guys. And so when you're going to ask a question in our business that is, I don't know, you don't know what kind of an answer you're going to get, you usually wait till the end. Because then you've done all the interview, and if it's a shitty answer or if the person gets mad or whatever, then the interview's over and it's no big deal. So I think we'd asked maybe one or two questions, and we probably had three or four left. And Mark breaks out with, hey, man, you're going to jump the wall. You're going to jump the wall. And Jason Hansen's like, what are you talking about? Well, Mark's talking about sex, because when they're in back in the old days in training camp, they would stay in a hotel. They wouldn't go home, and everybody's kumbaya, and you don't see your wife. You don't see your girlfriend. You know, like, it's, you're in camp. And so Mark was joking with a lot of the players. It's kind of a consistent theme throughout. It's like, do you miss your wife? Do you want to jump the wall? How's it going? Like, because Mark in his days was saying the same thing. Like, yeah, you can't have any sex in camp, and we're all, you know, we're ready to go. And so it was near the end of camp. And Jason Hansen was, like I said, a devout Christian, and was just, he wasn't getting it. And Mark was sort of like, look, man, are you going to jump the wall? Don't you want to have sex with your wife? And he was so offended by it. And they were former teammates, and they were having fun for a minute. And he's like, I don't wish to talk about it. And like, here we got like five more minutes with this guy. And he was just like, gets up, puts his headphone down. So some guys will have fun with it, like they just did in that clip. But I just remember like second, third question to Jason Hansen. He's like, we're not talking about sex. You're not talking about sex with my wife. I'm out of here. And I'm like, okay. Hey, thanks to Jason Hansen, kicker of the Lions, joining us on Training Camp Live. It's like, So speaking of, so this is, we're making a parallel. So we go from ground and pound to, I guess, ground and pound. So this is a story. I was an OnlyFans star. I don't know if you know what the OnlyFans is. I was an OnlyFans star. Now I want to restore my hymen and return to my Mormon roots. So this is where AI is wonderful. So I said, what is this story? Rather than having to read it, it says the post highlights Holly Jane, a 42-year-old Texas mother of three who plans to undergo hymenoplasty, a surgical procedure costing $3,000 to repair the hymen, motivated by a spiritual desire to reconnect with her Mormon roots after her OnlyFans career choice, blah, 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 blah. She say it's a way to restore a physical semblance of virginity. All right. So let me just stop right there. I don't want to get into the pearly gates, this, that, and the other, but I don't know. And I could be wrong here, but once it's done, it's done. Like, you're not going to restore it. You're not a virgin. You did OnlyFans. You made probably a ton of money. After a while, you're like, I got more money than I could probably spend in my lifetime. Now I'm going to go back to my more. Like, it doesn't work like that. Because when I was reading that story, I'm thinking to myself, she is going to be at the pearly gate someday. And she's going to go, hey, man, I know I did that, but look, I was restored. And it's like, God's going to be like, kind of doesn't work that way. Like, once you do it, you do it. And you could have a doctor go in there and make it, you know, close the drape, so to speak. But yeah. So anyway, good luck to her. Good luck to her. That's a little strange story, but good luck to her. Good luck to her. So there you go. There she is. All right. And that is your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Will someone fill me in on the names today? I gotta know. Yeah, exactly. Once it's been done, it's been done. I mean, it's just, you really can't go back on that whole thing. You did what you did. You made a bunch of money from OnlyFans. You're not giving back the money from OnlyFans. I don't think you're giving it to the church. I could be wrong. Maybe. Ground and pound, ground and pound. That's one of the best interviews I've ever seen. So anyway, there you go. All right. And that is your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. All right, that is episode 191 for, what is today? July 15th? Man, Tuesday, July 15th. Thanks for joining us today. Got a bunch of stuff that we're sending out today, so make sure you have those alerts on. Please hit us with a like before you get out of here. Thanks for watching today on X at John Lund Radio. Thanks for watching on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, any of those places. But if you would migrate over to John Lund Unleashed and subscribe, give us a like and get those alerts on, that would be incredible. I do believe that Polly Mac and Creative Tony will be on in about 30 minutes. So that gives you time to, refresh yourself and then come back. Do remember Tom Tolbert. He had a show yesterday. In fact, he had, who do you have on? He had the Ned Colletti, the Dodgers exec, Giants exec, on a couple of days ago as well. So make sure that you're hitting up Tommy's stuff. Rod Brooks had a show last night. I know that. Amy G, and as well as Jeremy Affeldt. So make sure you check out those on the Bay Area Sports Collective as well. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Keep those alerts on today because I got a bunch of stuff that we'll send out. Enjoy the All-Star Game, and remember, it is what it is. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!